Tonight's topic is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Divine Atonement, or Human Initiative. So I want to discuss, a lot of us prepare for Yom Kippur and we think about, making sure that our relationship with God is in its right place. I want to focus mostly tonight on the human side of the equation. And I want to raise a question, which we will develop more at length, about this question of divine atonement. Does God give us atonement? Or perhaps, seemingly radically, maybe human beings can provide atonement. So, if you look, I have some acknowledgments over here. Rabbi Feldman has written extensively about this idea. Rav Asher Weiss, who I'm going to introduce an idea from him, has an article in his Sefer Minchas Asher about this question, about divine atonement and the aviros shivin adam lechaveiro, the sins we have between man and his fellow, and how that plays into kapara and atonement. So there's an old Jewish folk tale that involves a man who came to a rabbi and said that he sinned with the sin of lashon hara. He spoke negatively about his fellow people. And he wanted to know how can he repair this sin? How can he rectify the sin? So the rabbi advised him to do something that was seemingly very possible. He said, take a pillow and put a hole through that pillow, one of those old down pillows, and go through the town and just let your pillow empty out all over the place. All the feathers fall everywhere, right? Seemingly a pretty easy thing to do. So he comes back to the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, didn't you said, what do I do now? He said, okay, now go back and get every single feather that was spread throughout the town. So probably apocryphal, but the point is very well taken, that when we speak negatively about other people, it's impossible to track down all the people that heard it or all the people that were affected by it. And it's something we really have to be particularly careful about, specifically with lashon hara, with negative speech. But in general, the aviros shivin adam lechaveiros, sins against our fellow man, are very complex. And I want to discuss a lot of the complexities, particularly with lashon hara, but in general about the concept of mechila. We have a practice to erev Yom Kippur to go around and to ask people for mechila. I know that when I was in high school, there was we didn't have smartphones, but we did send around these texts, everyone forgive me, like these mass texts, right? What does that do, right? Everyone just sends around these messages, okay, so you feel a little bit bad about one person, so maybe you send it to your entire contact list. I'm not sure how advisable that is. But for sure, Erev Yom Kippur seems like, it's the time. People ask everyone, just want to make sure. You call your parents, you call your son, just make sure everything's okay. Okay, I forgive you. Okay, fine. So I want to kind of question that practice. Before we question it, where does it come from? So the first source number one, in Tractate Yuma, the Mishnah says, Avero Shibin Adam Lachavero Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper. The aveiros, the sins between man and his fellow man, in Yom Kippur Mechaper, the day of Yom Kippur does not atone, right? Yom Kippur is supposed to be the be-all and end-all. If you go through Yom Kippur, you do the right thing, you do Yom Daven, you do the five, you nuyin, you don't drink, you don't, all these things, you get kapara. No, when it comes to the sins between man and his fellow man, doesn't not atone, ad shiirata es chaver, until you go and make right by your friend. There's a radical interpretation of this, which the Chidah in the Birkei Yosef, Rav Chaim Yosef Azulai, he cites it, he disagrees with it, but just see how radical this could get. Source number two, he quotes an opinion, I'll just tell you outside, my apologies for the delay and the action over here, but if you see, he says in the bolded that he disagrees, but in the underlying section, he says there's this, someone who says, V'yesh b'shekosva, that says, that even aveiros shebein adam lemakom, even when you have sins between you and God, if you don't rectify those between man, yourself and man, then even the ones between you and God is not accepted. Whoa! So that's a big, I would say, astringency. The simple understanding of this Gemara is that if you don't make right by your fellow man or woman, then you are not forgiven for that particular sin, but not that every single sin you ever did between you and God as well is not forgiven. But just see how radical that this could be. That if we don't make right by other people, God says, you know, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the tshuva that you're doing. So this is where the Shulchan Aruch picks up on this, source number 3. And if you look, just notice the title. I put the title in English as well. The title of this simin in Orach Chaim is Shiefayez Ad Mechaviru Be'erev Yom Kippur. It says you go, that's the practice, to go on Erev Yom Kippur to be mefayez, to appease your friend. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Aviros again, Shebiron Mechavir In Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad Shiefayez Shiefasenu, that quoting the Gemara, it's codified in the Shulchan Aruch that sins between man and fellow man are not forgiven on Yom Kippur unless you make right by them. Now I wanted to skip down to later on. V'im eno mispayes v'shlosha pa'amim eno zakuklo. If you ask 3 times and he doesn't listen, she doesn't listen, then you don't have to worry about it. You did your part. Mihu, the Rambam adds, Yomer Acher Kach Lefnei Asara Shebikish Min Mechila. Tell 10 people that you did ask forgiveness. Now, what about further on? Then he says, if you're Hamocha Lo Yeh Achzari Melimchol, someone you should be ready to forgive. You shouldn't be cruel. It's very cruel not to forgive. Let me scroll down a little bit to source number 3 so you can see it. And now I want to get to the punchline here. And in the bolded in the Sif Beis number section 2, he writes, I think this is back to Shulchan Aruch, in Meis Asher Shechatalo Mevi Asara Bnei Adam Umamidim Al Kivro. If the person died that you wronged, so what should you do? Bring 10 people and stand on his grave. The Omer Chatasi Lelokei Yisrael Uloploni. I sin to God and to this person. Ploni Zeh Shechatasi Lo. Bring 10 people to the grave. Let me ask you this a question. What does this do? At the end of the day, we just said there are bin adam l'chaveiro sins. There are sins between man and his fellow man. And then there are sins between man and God. What in the world does it matter if you bring 10 people to the grave? The person went to the grave without forgiving you. So what is it? What are you doing? We see there's this confluence. There's this blurring of the lines here between seemingly man and his fellow man and God, because here you can't do anything else. You can't, you know, ask forgiveness, but there still is an avenue. So what's going on here? So I want to just show again this interplay and this complexity that we see between sin between man and God and between man and his fellow. So Rabbi Feldman, in his work, The Right and the Good, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, a Rosh Hashiva at Yeshiva University, he says, look at this this halacha, that you have to go and ask forgiveness. It shows the importance that Judaism ascribes to the individual. That God is, so to speak, saying, I am not granting forgiveness. The human being is, it's the title of the shir, it's the human initiative to give that kapara, that forgiveness, is in the hands of a human being. It's not in the hands of God. So, you know, we're going to see some people raise questions to this. But just before we question it, Rabbi Feldman says, you see in this halacha, you see that Judaism gives so much power to the human being, that the human being is the one that gives that kapara, that gives that forgiveness, not God. It's not other religions. I'm definitely not an expert in, but there are other religions that, you know, give a lot of emphasis. I think Rabbi Kropkin at the Tshuva Drasha, Shabbat Tshuva, just mentioned that he was looking on a forum online, and they, you know, someone asked, how many Hail Marys can you say if you do adultery? How many do you say? So, like, that's definitely not, the Judaism's ethic here, the ethic of the human being's significance to give kapara, to give forgiveness, is central. But the question is pretty, I think, pretty obvious. I mentioned the title of this Shulchan Aruch is that we wait till Erev Yom Kippur. Does anyone want to guess what is the problem with this practice? Lloyd, what do you think?
Zman Katzar.
Zman Katzar, okay. Meaning?
Time to get to everybody.
There's no time to get to everyone, okay. Well, why don't you start earlier? Why do we wait, right? I don't understand. It has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. You have to make right by other people. So why are you waiting until it's almost too late, like Dr. Diamond was saying. It's too late. What are you doing, Avi? Well, it's too late. You know, you wronged someone, so you're going to wait a half a year? Oh, you know, it's still so good. I got some time till Yom Kippur. What is going on? Why are we procrastinating? Is there something you did wrong to someone else? So ask them forgiveness. So because of time constraints, I'm going to skip this middle part, but just suffice it to say, the obligation to forgive, as the Ramah said, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Meiri writes over there in source number 5, is that you should not be cruel with your friends if you know that he's going to be punished. If you know he's going to be, he or she is going to be punished, so then you shouldn't be cruel and hold back that forgiveness. You should try your best to forgive. But here's where, and we quoted this Gemara earlier, the Gemara continues in source number 6, and here's where I really want to focus on. That that we go and we ask forgiveness is really based on this Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma actually cites this practice, that if the person passes away, so you should bring 10 men, it just says 10 people, 10 people, and stand at the kever, at the grave. So the question is, and this is one of the complexities that I want to raise about Bin Adam L'Chaveiro. What if the person, not the person who was wrong, passed away, but what about the person who did the Avera, who wronged his friend? Let's say he passed away or she passes away. Is there Mechila? What happens? So this question is brought up by the Minchas Chinuch in source number 7. In source number 7, he writes in the bolded and the underlined, Vim achel mises mochalo chaveiro, if the person who wronged you, after he passes away, you forgive him. You say, yeah, he passed away, but I still forgive that person. But they did not ask for forgiveness while they were living. So he says, there is no kapara. There is no kapara. Ein kapara lemeisim. There is no forgiveness to people who passed away. So this, again, this is a very big stringency. We're saying that human beings have the power, so much so, to be in control of forgiveness, or in this case, it was the person who should have asked for forgiveness, so much so that they so to speak, they go to the grave without any forgiveness. How is that possible? So we'll explain a different approach. Rav Asher Weiss disagrees with this, but I just want to show you again the complexities here, and we'll, God willing, introduce a different approach. But you see this on the books. The Minchas Chinuch is strict, stringent, and says it really needs to be an actual active mechila, active forgiveness. During the person's lifetime. Another thing that Rav Asher Weiss, he says in a shir, that when he hears things in the name of the Gedolim, Chazon Ish, or other people, that he thinks is illogical, so he'd rather not believe the person quoting it, because it detracts from the honor of those that are saying it, because he doesn't want to look down upon, so to speak, because I can't say that, but Rav Asher Weiss can say that he thinks it's not logical. So he says, I don't really believe it, but he says somebody said in the name of the Chazon Ish that if someone wrongs a minor, so many people think that if it's just a child, we don't have to worry about the child. It's okay, it's just a child. And the Chazon Ish, and some say the Stipler said this as well, Yaakov Kanievsky. A katan, based on the Gemara above Metzia, source number 8, that Yisomim are lav b'nei mechila, it's a whole different context in that Gemara, but based on this Gemara, some poskim want to say, some Gedol Yisrael, they said that a katan cannot affect mechila. They cannot, a minor can't have the halakhic status, so to speak, to give forgiveness. So if you wrong a minor, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble because they can't actively grant mechila. Again, a stringency, and Rav Asher Weiss takes issue with it, and we'll talk about perhaps why. But again, we see the complexities that this issue raises. Another thing, let's say a person says, I forgive you, but in their heart of hearts, they don't actually forgive you. Does that work? So again, in the name of the Chazon Ish, he says, no, it does not work. Because at the end of the day, it's within the human heart. Dvarim shebelev eino dvarim, that if you just feel things in your heart, it doesn't count. It doesn't apply to mechila, because mechila comes from the heart. Usually we'd say in halacha, if you say something, even if you're not paying attention, or even if you don't really mean it, you said it, it counts. Mechila is from the heart. You cannot say something and not feel it to accomplish mechila, to accomplish forgiveness. So that, again, according to the Chazon Ish, and said in the name of the Chazon Ish, that would not work.
So does that mean if you go to someone and ask for forgiveness and they say, I forgive you, do you have to go prodding them? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Right.
Because that three times business,
right,
you might not have the opportunity to do this. Because he said, I forgive you, but he didn't right. mean it. So do you have to prod him?
According to what they're saying in the name of the Chazon Ish, perhaps you should not, you know, in a strange and unhealthy way, but you know, at a further time, you could, you know, I would say, again, I'm going to actually raise those who disagree with this. But according to this view, you could say, you know, by the way, are you sure? Like a later time, when you say it was like, I really want to make sure you're okay with it. You know?
Later than Yom Kippur.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to talk about why Yom Kippur. I think that. You know, for sure. If you ask and you try to make amends before Yom Kippur, I would say, and we're going to see many that agree with this, that you did what you could. If you have, you know, doubts in yourself that you think that the person doesn't really feel it, you know, I think besides for the halacha, I think in general, just in human relationships, if you think the person just yeah, whatever, but they really aren't happy with you, I think there is a reason to go make right. But in terms of the Yom Kippur question, we'll see. If you do all that you can, it's enough. We're going to talk about that. But thank you for raising that question. It's an important question. So it's going to be very related to this.
Do you really also have to really mean it and
right.
not just say it?
Right.
Like, I mean, you know you've done something wrong, but maybe you still are angry with that person. So maybe, okay, this is the process. It's Yom Kippur. I'm asking for mechila. But I'm still very hurt. So how does that work?
That's great. No, that is the question that I want to address next. Miriam, right? Miriam?
Yes.
Fantastic. So Miriam's raising the question, if you didn't hear on Zoom, that when you grant forgiveness, if you don't really need it in your heart and you're not able to do that work, can you just say, well, it's Yom Kippur, we're supposed to, should you grant that forgiveness? Or should you, you know, say, I'm really honestly not okay with it at this point? What should our approach be? And it actually, as the old joke goes, it's always, you know, the answer to every question on the test is always in Jewish, you know, in halacha, it's always a machlokas, it's always a debate. There was a debate about this. And the debate was, believe it or not, it goes back to the days of Rav Yisrael Salanter. And it's about Lashon Hara, like I mentioned in the beginning with that folk tale. Lashon Hara is a very difficult sin to rectify, and it's kind of like your question is highlighted by this issue of Lashon Hara. And let me explain. So in the days of the Yisrael Salanter, there was a young Talmud Chacham, a young scholar, Yisrael Meir Kagan or Kain King, and he was not known yet, but he was the Chavetz Chaim, and he wrote a work about Lashon Hara, and he was trying to get, you know, some you know, some people to sign on, you know, to get some buzz of social media, you know. Back in the day, you had to get haskamos, you had to get approbations from the Gedol Yisrael. So he went to Rav Yisrael Salanter. This is a story told, I saw this in a couple places. It's not, you know, it's a well-known story, but sometimes when you know well-known stories, it doesn't always make it back to the original sources. I found it in a couple places. One place I found it is in Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's Perech Aaron. He quotes it in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. For those who don't know, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who was a Rosh Hashiva in YU, but he actually was a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin, and before he was a Rebbe there, he was a Talmud, he was a student of Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. So Rav Kuttner tells this story. And Rav Kuttner was in Slobodka, Rav Kuttner was in the world of the Musar movement, even though he created his own movement. But Rav Kuttner tells this story. It's also quoted in a different Sefer, but this is where I found the most clear depiction of the story. And he goes to Rav Yisrael Salanter. He says, I really want a approbation from you. He says, what do you want an approbation for? So he hands him this machberet, this new manuscript, and he goes through it. And apparently Rav Yisrael Salanter was very moved by the Sefer. And I'm just checking to see what time we're at. It doesn't say because, okay, 8:27 or something? Okay. And he was very moved by this work, and he liked it very much, except for one halacha, and it's the following halacha. In source number 10, in Sefer Chavetz Chaim, Hilchos Lashon Hara, this is in the fourth section, in Os Yud Beis, he writes that if someone sins against his other, his fellow man, he says lashon hara, so they need to go ask forgiveness. And the following bolded lines: uchushi yispayes v'yimcholo lo nishar alav ki im ha'avon debin adam l'makom. And once he is mafayes him, once he appeases the person, so then he or she remains with a sin against his or her creator. And then he says, let's say the person never knew that you said this nasty thing about him that cost him his job or cost him his a shidduch, you know, whatever it is. You said this thing about him, he doesn't even know. So he says, you need to reveal to that person what you did. Rav Yisrael Salanter saw this. He said, no. You're going to go and get a kapara. You're going to go and say to God, I am forgiven because I did what you told me to do. I went and I asked forgiveness, and I even told the guy what I, you know, what I did to him. And Rav Yisrael Salanter said, you have no right to go pain someone else for your own forgiveness. Now, the Chafetz Chaim says, and this is what he writes in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, which is the footnotes to his own work, it's source number 11. I'm so sorry for not scrolling down on the Zoom over here. So in source number 11 there, in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, he quotes the Shari Tshuva of the Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, it's not me. Don't hate the messenger. It's Rabbeinu Yonah. It's one of the Rishonim. Rav Yisrael Salanter didn't care. He said, I don't care. And if you could see in the story that Rabbi Hillel Goldberg, who's a scholar of the Musar movement, he actually did his PhD on Rav Yisrael Salanter in Hebrew University. So Rabbi Hillel Goldberg writes in The Fire Within, it's a book he wrote on the Musar movement, that Rav Aaron Cutler, who also was in the school of Musar, he said that Rav Yisrael Salanter was so great. He was like a Tana, who was like Rabbah, who was a great Talmud scholar, even though he's an Amora, he could argue with an earlier Tana. So Rav Yisrael was so great, he could argue with Rabbeinu Yonah. Wow, okay. So we have here a very big debate. If you wrong someone and they don't know about it, specifically the example is Lashon Hara, it could really be anything, do you have to go and say, hey, Craig, I'm sorry, I told your boss that you are inept, so that's why he fired you last year. Whoops. You know, like, do you have to do that? Or could you say, I'm so sorry, maybe I did something to you. Can you forgive me? Right? So, that Rav Yisrael Salanter, one way of interpreting his opinion is you may not ask forgiveness at all. Rav Yisrael Salanter says, you're stuck with that. You're stuck with no mechila because you are not allowed to ask him because it's going to be painful for me to ask Craig for forgiveness to tell him. But Craig can't forgive me. This is Miriam, your question. He can't really forgive me. Similar question. Why can't he forgive me? Because he can't go through that process. He can't go through that process of forgiveness because he doesn't know that what I did to him. So someone interpret Rav Yisrael Salanter, Rav Daniel Feldman is of the opinion that it's a stringency. Rav Yisrael Salanter is saying you have no right to get forgiven for this Aveira because you wronged him and you can't ask. I can't ask Mechila from Craig and he can't grant me forgiveness, so I'm stuck with that Avera forever. Others, we'll see in a moment, have a different approach, but that's one way of understanding Rav Yisrael Salanter. And the Chafetz Chaim is saying, no, I have Rabbeinu Yonah on my side. I have earlier sources that say that you need you need actual Mechila, you need the person to go through that process, right? But I can't say process yet. It's too early. That process. And you need that mechila, and you can't get it without explicitly asking and telling the person what you did. So I would have to say to Lloyd what I did to him that was wrong. Now, there was one problem here. The Chafetz Chaim wrote another work. Does anyone know? What famous work the Yisrael Kagan wrote? The Yisrael Meir Kagan? Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura is a work that he wrote, and he contradicts himself. If you look at source number 9, the Mishnah Brura writes that, I'll just tell you, tell it to you, the summary, that he says if you're supposed to go and ask forgiveness on that Shulchan Aruch that we mentioned, the Mishnah Brura is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. In that original source, the Shulchan Aruch Rav Yosef Kairo's work, the Mishnah Berurah, has the kind of the up-to-date practices that we do for Ashkenazic community. And he writes that you should not reveal what you did to your fellow man if you know it's going to embarrass that person. He writes explicitly, source number 9, and I'll just read over here, B'shas b'kodesh mechila tzorach l'fayar ma'a shechadu l'chaveiro im lo kishi yodea shechavir yizbayish mizeh. You should tell the person what you did to them unless you know it's going to embarrass them. So one second, the same person that just that wrote earlier in the Chofetz Chaim that you should is writing now that you should not reveal if it's going to embarrass the person. So you should know that the Mishnah Berurah was actually written by a team of authors. Rav Mendel Zaks, who was the Bochen in Yeshiva University, who wrote the sixth chelik of Mishnah Berurah in Washington Heights. That's where Rabbi Simon told me. Rabbi Baruch Simon, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU. So he was the son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, and he worked on the Mishnah Berurah, and there were others as well. So it's not, you could say, I mean, the Chofetz Chaim, for sure, looked at over everything. But you could suggest, maybe it's, you know, someone else got like their opinion in there. I don't love the answer, because the Chofetz Chaim looked over every single thing. So some want to try to explain that embarrassing is different than pain. You know, of course, the Rabbeinu Yonah would never tell you to violate Onas Devarim, painting someone else. So it just means that it's such a long time ago, and it's not so painful. So then, yes, you should reveal what you did to him. But if it would actually hurt the person, then no, you shouldn't reveal it. So some want to answer that, and I find it very difficult to understand. Some just, you know, want to say that a different approach. And here's where I want to introduce this new idea that I was mentioning before about the interplay between bin adam l'chaveiro, bin adam l'makom, man and God, and man and man. So the simple understanding, and I alluded to this before, of the debate is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says you cannot achieve mechila unless the person grants you mechila. And the Chofetz Chaim agrees. They both are on the same page with that. So Chofetz Chaim says, therefore, you have to go and tell the person what you did. And the Rav Yisrael Salanter says, you have no right. However, there's a different school of thought. There's another way to interpret Rav Yisrael Salanter's opinion. Perhaps Rav Yisrael Salanter is not saying you remain with that Aveira for time immemorial. What time immemorial is backwards. Forever and ever, you remain with that. Rav Yisrael Salanter is saying, no. What you should rather do is not tell the person what you did, but you should grant a generic forgiveness, similar to what Miriam was saying earlier. So you can't really tell the person what you did, but you should. What you should vie for is you should try your best to just say, you know, if there's anything I did to you, if there's any issues, you know, whatever, please forgive me. And the person would say, oh, sure, okay, I'll forgive you. Now, if you go on a random Tuesday and you walk to your friend's house and hi, you know, Elaine, I want to ask Mechila, just something, you know, something that, whatever, just want to ask Mechila. It's going to raise some questions, right? It's gonna be a somewhat of a giveaway. What did you do to me, right? So that's why someone explained, Rav Dessler quoted in Rav Sternbuch's, in his Sefer, this is in source number 16, It's a bunch of quotes. Rav Binyamin Zilber quotes Rav Dessler. Sorry, Rav Binyamin Zilber quotes Rav Sternbach, who quotes Rav Dessler, who quotes Rav Yisrael Salanter. So that's in source number 16. And he says that this is why, perhaps, just scroll down to source number 16 for you here. He says that this is why we wait till Yom Kippur. Because on Erev Yom Kippur, if everyone's asking each other for forgiveness, it doesn't seem so odd to go and say, by the way, you know, can you forgive me? Oh, sure, yeah, for sure. But if you go on a random Tuesday night, it's going to raise questions. So according to this interpretation of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you should specifically ask a generic mechila. And mechila could be given even if the person doesn't go through that process, go through that forgiveness. And that the person wronged him or her, and then they have to work through that. No, according to this explanation, a generic mechila works, even if you don't really know, okay, the person just asked me, okay, but I like the person, okay, I'll forgive the person. According to this interpretation, unlike what we said earlier, Daniel Feldman said, no, no, no,
real.
Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is a stringency. He's saying you got it. You're stuck with this. You're stuck with this for the rest of your life. Others say, Rav Dester and others, that no, it's not a stringency. It's a leniency. The Chavetz Chaim says, go and make the person aware of what you did to them, and you know that's the only way you get mechila, because mechila has to be real. It has to be from your heart. That's what I mentioned to you before. That your question really is this: is that the heart of the question? The Chavetz Chaim is saying you really do have to go through that process. You really do have to feel that pain, that anger. I'm not so ready to forgive you. I'm sorry. I need to work on it. And there are stories about the Bali Musar that they would go days and days and try to forgive the other person for wronging them. And they would say, "What do you mean? You're this great tzaddik. You're this great rabbi. You can't forgive this person." He's like, "No, forgiveness is a real thing. It's a difficult thing." So in that school of thought, you would have to tell the person what you did because you need real forgiveness. So that would be one answer to your question. That yes, you do have to give that real forgiveness. You don't feel it, you should not say it. The other school of thought is absolutely not. Absolutely not. Generic mechila works. You don't have to reveal the Lashon Hara that you said, and that folk tale about the feathers falling out everywhere. Yes, we want to be careful, and yes, Lashon Hara is important to be careful from. But at the end of the day, what do? You are allowed, you are able to have an avenue towards mechila of a generic way. You could go and you can ask, I'm really sorry. If there's anything I did wrong, do you forgive me? And the person says, yes. That's it. So the simple answer to your question, Miriam, is that according to Rav Yisrael Salanter, in one interpretation, you can just grant mechila even if you don't feel it. According to the other approach, no, mechila has to be heartfelt.
WhatsApp group. Everybody in the group.
I personally don't think that just on a human level, I think WhatsApp or everyone forgive me, a group text, it just doesn't mean much. That's my opinion. That's not in the sources, but I just think, if the person doesn't grant you forgiveness, like we said, there's or if the person passes away, going to the kever, which we'll talk about now actually in a moment, there are different ways of doing it. But if the person is there, and that's part of the difficulty, and it's difficult to confront someone. It's difficult, but that's the point. The point is, you need to, part of doing your part is to make that effort and to show up and to call the person at least. That's my my humble opinion. So I mentioned some of the complexities earlier, and I raised some questions about a minor or a person who passed away, and all those areas that it's been arum l'chaber, and like Rabbi Daniel Feldman said, the Torah gives centrality to the individual, so much so, gives significance to the person that they are the one in control of your forgiveness. And apparently, according to some, that has ramifications for someone who didn't ask mechila before they passed away, or for a minor, or you mentioned not forgiving in your heart. All those things, those are remaining within human hands. So Rav Asher Weiss wants to challenge this. In source number 17, he wants to challenge this. And he says the following. And I'll just I'll summarize. Well, I'll read the last part. So he mentions this debate between Rav Yisrael Salanter and the Chavetz Chaim. He mentions this debate and he writes, Averu Shebinon L'Chaveru. It's the last paragraph, about five lines down. Eim Eschaper, it's the last source. Eim Eschaper Lo Ad Shirat Eschaveru. Over there, the last source. Ein ze mishum shechaveru hu ze sheyachul la'atzil o limnoa kapara d'atu tachas elokim hu. It's not the pshat. It's not the explanation that the person, so to speak, is in place of God. He's saying something rhetorical there. D'atu tachas elokim hu, which is what Yaakov says to Rachel, that am I God? Am I in place of God? So he's saying that's not the explanation. The explanation is not that, man, so to speak, so important that he takes the place of God. No, absolutely not. We know that if you go three times to the person, you don't need to go anymore. So, what do you mean? The guy never forgave you. If he's in charge, she's in charge, so then why is three times off the hook? And furthermore, he says, we know, or he maybe have said this in the shir that I heard, that if someone passes away, we go to the grave and we bring 10 people. I mean, what are we doing? Heebie-jeebie stuff? What is that? If the person's in control, so then what? What do you accomplish? He says no. Ella dezeh chelik me'inyan hatshuva sheyiratzu tacha shitzara upagabo. No. Rather, part of tshuva, part of doing the act of tshuva, is making amends with a person. If there's a person in front of you, if you have someone who you wronged and you didn't make right by them, that's a lack of awareness, it's a lack of your tshuva. But at the end of the day, the one who's in charge, the one who grants kapara, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the day, the one who atones is God. If that a man takes the place of God and God says, okay, it's not my problem anymore. Within the framework of bin adam lemakom, bin adam lechaviro lies. In other words, everything at the end of the day is between man and God. There are things that we need to make right. We need to make, you know, do right by our fellow man. But those things are as long as you did your part. If you're someone that you wrong that is blatant and you don't go and try to make amends and you're just davening to Hashem, Hashem says, you could have done better. You have to go to your fellow person, you know, to do and ask mechila. But if the person passes away, or if they're a minor, or all these situations like we mentioned, like not being able to ask mechila because it's painful to the person, you did what you could. You did what you could, and you can't do anything more. So because of this approach, Rav Asher Weiss says that he paskins that in this question of. A person spoke Lashon Hara, there's this whole debate between the Rosh Salanter and the Chavetz Chaim whether you should ask forgiveness by expressing it. He says, I'm of the opinion that you should not tell the person what you did to them. And asking just a general mechila, asking for general forgiveness, that's enough, because that's all you can do. You do the best you can, as long as there's nothing blatant, nothing that you're obviously ignoring that responsibility, that person's right there, and you didn't ask them forgiveness, and God says, you're wronging my people, and you're not asking forgiveness from them? What is this? This is not a, you know? No, as long as you're doing what you could, Rav Asher Weiss says, there's kapara. Because everything, at the end of the day, fits into the framework of bin adam lemakom. Everything we do, obviously we believe in ethics, obviously we believe in doing right by other people, but it's within the Torah framework that God asks us to do that, and God is the ultimate judge of reward and punishment. I actually misspoke. It's not the last source. I apologize. I will end with. What time? I can't figure out because it only says the.
A quarter to.
Okay, I will end with this. There's a fascinating comment by the Rush. The Rush writes, based on the Mishnah in Peah, the first Mishnah, he writes something very, very important that we can hopefully take with us. To Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah in Peah says, and we say this every day, Elu devarim she'adam ochel peroseim ba'olam hazeh v'hakeren kayemes lo'olam haba. These things are the things that if you do them, these mitzvos, that they have peros, they have fruit or fruition in this world, and their keren, their their remains, they call them the principal remains, but they have value in the world to come. And he says that's kivud av, aim, gemilas chasadim, v'shalom bin adam lechaveru. That's this girsa in this text. And making peace between people, honoring our parents, doing kindness, and talmud Torah keneged kulam. So the Rush says these things are, I'm not sure how he deals with the talmud Torah part of it, but these things that are highlighted in this Mishnah are all mitzvot shebein adam lechaveru, all between man and his fellow man. And he says, source number 19. He says a very fascinating line here, very radical. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz yoser. Hashem wants more these things, the mitzvos sheyasu behem, that we should do these mitzvos in Olam HaChaveru. Gam rotzen abrius, that we should do with them also what people want more, the mitzvos shebein Olam Lekono. Hashem wants us to do the mitzvos shebein Olam HaChaveru, because it's what people want more than his own desire to do for people to do the mitzvos ben adam lekonam, between man and God. What does this mean?
Does it mean ethics are more important than rituals?
It sounds like that. It sounds, if you just read it straight, you say the Rosh is saying that really it's more important to be a good person than to keep Shabbos. That's what it sounds like from this Rosh. Now, I'm not necessarily, I'm not the definitive word on what this Rush means, But in light of what Rav Asher Weiss was saying, we have to understand mitzvos v'arum l'chaveiro are both between man and God and man and man. So it's really both. Ethics are not just devoid of divine will. They are expressions of divine will. So God is saying, according to this Rush, make sure that you follow, and obviously the opposite is true too. If you do aveiros, if you wrong other people, that it's much worse, because it's not only what I don't want, but you know, God, so to speak, sees his children, and they're fighting with his children. He says, I don't want you to be fighting with my own children, right? It's not only is it against what God wants, it's also painful to his own children. So without, you know, obviously, if there are things that we can make amends with other people, then God is saying, do that. Don't ignore, as we say on Yom Kippur, in Yeshayahu, you know, you're bringing these karbanos and you're fasting. It's worth nothing if you're not, you know, if you're not clothing the naked, if you're not feeding the hungry. I mean, it's a radical thing to read on Yom Kippur. What do you mean we're fasting? We're in shul. We're not going out and, you know, and we're not doing social justice today. So that could be a question. Why not? But what I wanted to suggest in this year is that, yes, we should make amends before Yom Kippur. That's the practice. That's why we do it before, perhaps why we wait till Erev Yom Kippur, because of that generic mechila, that we are doing all that we can to make sure that we're not offending anyone more than we have to, but we should make sure that that we're sensitive. We're extra, you know, obviously beforehand is better to be careful from speaking Lashon Hara or from hurting anyone, but even post facto, if we make mistakes, and we all do, then we should do our best to ask forgiveness after Yom Kippur as well, but at least to make sure that Yom Kippur we follow this practice, and we also, you know, not only just in the letter of the law, but in the spirit of the law as well. And with that, may we bless with the Gemar Chasima Tova and a good Gemar Shiar. Everyone have a Shana Tov, Gemar Chasima Tova. If there are any questions, I'm here for another few minutes.